We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going to play on and stand strong with Drodo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
Unbelievable. Show's ruined. 6 minutes, 6 hours, 26 seconds. We're late. This whole thing. Tommy Call, what are you doing?
Man.
Show's almost over. You took all our airtime.
Late hit out of bounds. Call, button it up, TC.
Have a great weekend. Steiny Bonte Guru coming up next.
Wow.
Here on 95.7
wow.
The Game. All right. Jokes aside, happy Friday. Welcome to the show. Time to go to work. Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Adam Kaplan, NFL insider. How serious is the injury to Robbie Gould? That's coming up in an hour. Drew Bennett will join us at 9.05. We got a million things going on today. A million. Not actually. That's hyperbole. But you get where I'm coming from. First and foremost, Monday, we are going to be down at the Hilton right outside Levi's Stadium. We're broadcasting all day. Come hang out. Bring White Claw. We will drink them with you, okay? We will drink them with you. But one thing to note on that, we have apparently pairs of wristbands, all you can eat and drink at the tailgate party that's happening there, all you can eat and drink. We got two pairs, which means we have four, two pairs. One will be given away at 7:45, one pair, the other pair around 8:30. So if you want to come party with us, not only can you come hang out and watch us create art, original art that other people rip off, you will then be able to put a wristband on, and it's like a three-hour post-game party.
Wow. Yeah.
Can you believe this? All you can eat and drink.
Yeah, pre and post. It's all at the Hilton, which, of course, is right next to the stadium. So even if you're not coming out for the game, if you don't have tickets – you come out for the tailgate, you see us, and you make a real day of it.
There you go. 7:45 will be your first opportunity to win a pair of them. The second one's going to come around 8:30. Right after that, Man versus Machine at 8:45. Bob in the Billions is in there as well. We've got Losers at 9:20. We've got Wide Receiver Roulette at 9:30. We got Low versus Dibs at 9:45. Speaking of Low versus Dibs, you were on opposite sides last night of what was a hell of a Thursday night football game. Your final from the Collie, Oakland 26, Chargers 24. It stayed tight the whole way. Philip leads them down the field to get a win, and then predictably all throughout Twitter, it was just the same comment here and there. Well, let's see what Derek Carr is made of. Well, let's see what Josh Jacobs is made up too, because the Raiders went right down the field, won that game, and then, to surprise probably everyone in the league, they won it with their defense.
Yeah, they really did. They got after Philip. They hit him. The defense was getting after it. The end of the game with 40-some seconds left, turned the ball over to Philip Rivers. Defense, they pinned their end back. They pinned their ears back and put pressure. They didn't sit back and play that soft zone. And people like to say, okay, right before, no. I saw Gruden walk up to Gunther and say, hey, we got to get after him.
What do you think he was saying right there? Because I saw that too, and he was all fired up, and I'm like, man, this is going to be big. It was right before the drive started.
He went up to him the first time, and I imagine as a head coach, I imagine he walked up and said, hey, look, they're only down by two. Okay, Philip, that sucker's pretty good. We got to be careful. And then he walked away and came back and said, come after that son of a gun. We got to come after him. He was like, okay, don't be too aggressive. Then he said, hey, turn back around and said, let it go. Cut him loose.
You think he said one thing and then completely changed his opinion, came back and told Gunther something else?
He said it in a sense where it put the onus on the coach. Like, okay, hey, look, you know Phillip's going to have the ball. We got to be smart here. Let's just not, we know we can't give up a field goal if they win this game. Then he walked away and came back and said, come after him. Don't worry about anything else. Let's not try to be conservative. Go. So he wanted to tell the coach, okay, I'm willing to ride with you. Instead of like, okay, be careful. But no. I'm jumping in the car with you. If you want to go 100 miles an hour, I'm going to buckle up and let's go for the ride. If we go out, we're going to go out together. I think that's what that was, Daniel.
Yeah, and that offensive line was getting pushed back the entire second half. So you look at the Raider defensive line that had some key players out, and yet they still were able to get major push. I look at Anthony Lynn and say, what are you doing, bro, with the play calling late in that game? You know your quarterback has no time. The pocket is breaking down each and every play. Why are we trying to run double moves and 30-yard pass patterns? Dink and dunk, move it down the field, use your timeout. I thought the play calling was as bad as as your boy Philip Rivers, and maybe I'm a little bit edgy because I had the Chargers in Lowe versus Dibs, and it's another L for your boy. But you watch Philip Rivers, and you look at the way he back-footedly floats balls all night. The guy's overrated, Lowe.
I think Lynn took over that play calling. Beginning of the game, that wasn't Lynn's handprint on it. You got to watch the game and start watching coaches and watching what they're doing.
Watch the tape, Dibs.
I know they got the new OC.
I thought you were watching all 60,000.
I usually wait until I watch it a third time before I really get into the nuance. You know, the first time through, you're watching it, and it's happened a million miles an hour, Coach. The game hasn't slowed down for me yet like it has for you.
It's like a Vegas buffet. You have to do a full loop once before you even take anything. You got to get yourself organized. I respect that.
No doubt. Yeah.
Lynn went over and said, let me have it. Because they were trying to come out, throwing the ball, trying to get to him. You saw Lynn take it and even start calling some plays. And then the Chargers went on that 16-play drive. Run. They said, look, we're not giving him time back there. The tackles were just a sieve. I mean, I was surprised with the Chargers.
Sam Tevy, the right tackle, was out. Not to make any excuses, just saying that they were battling an injury there and the Raiders took advantage of it.
They really did. And once I saw Brown going to play, that I was like, oh. I was going Raiders. That's why I texted.
No, it's funny. I saw the text, and then I looked on the field. I'm like, is he really playing? And then you look on offense, it's like, my God, hard to miss that guy. He's 6'9", 375, or whatever he is.
There was a point where Josh Jacobs had an 8-yard run, and as he's going back to the huddle, he walks past Brown. So they're standing next to each other, and I'm like, Jacobs is a little midget. And then I looked at him like, Jacobs is not a midget.
Right.
Brown's just a mountain.
Mountain.
Like, somehow he's a mountain that breathes.
Unlike
Everest. Everest doesn't breathe,
from
like what I understand.
He's like the mountain from Game of Thrones, quite frankly. You know? Mountain more.
I'll tell you what. Last night, I know that we've had this fight on the air before. It's a good debate. Wherever you stand on it, I'm not saying anyone's wrong. I'm just saying for fans who like to say we when speaking about their team, we've got to win this game. We didn't look that good last night. That last night is an example of how fans have a direct impact on the game. Go back last week, watch Philip Rivers against the Packers. Packers were the 11th ranked scoring defense in the NFL last week against the Chargers. They couldn't get any pressure. Philip Rivers had all day. And the sharp money came in on the Chargers this week for one key reason. The Raiders have a lousy pass rush. By statistical definition, not opinion, calm down. They have a lousy pass rush. And the thought process was that Rivers was going to be able to sit in the pocket, find his receivers, and make plays down the field. Now, Cleveland Furl and the rest of that Raider pass rush stepped up in a big way. But coming into that game, they were bottom five or six, I believe, in sacks this year.
Yeah, they were.
Bottom five or six. They have not been a good pass rush, and that's okay. They're building.
Only
but
six turnovers.
Last night,
it's been low.
Last night, they had five sacks of Philip Rivers, and they were in his face on seemingly every play. That dude was airmailing passes left and right. Those interceptions were all a direct result of pass rush. And that pass rush was aided by that crowd noise. I am 100% convinced that if that game is played in a silent stadium, that is not the outcome you get. Maybe the Raiders win that game still, but they don't win it with five sacks. That crowd noise last night had a direct effect on the game, and it had a direct effect on that final possession.
It won the first quarter. It had a direct effect the first quarter.
No doubt.
That game was won in the first quarter. Like you just said, the play is raging. They're hitting Phillip. It's the first quarter. You're down by 10. You take that away, it's a totally different ballgame.
And there was delay of game. There was a false start. And the thing about your boy Philip Rivers, and I hate to always go back to the quarterback, but you see him back there, and the play clock's at 3, and it's...
He's going!
He's clap, clap, clap.
You know what? Here's another thing with that.
He made some plays, too.
Break the huddle. Get him lined up. The guy waits until 9 seconds left. Then he wants to change everything. Then he's mad at everyone else that the ball doesn't get snapped. They look so disorganized, so consistently.
The optics on that guy are terrible. Slinging it from chin height. Clap, clap, clapping at his own lineman.
Was that not a hell of a game?
Wolfing and stomping at everybody.
Thank you to the NFL. For all the complaining we do about Thursday night, I thoroughly enjoyed that game.
That was a great game.
It sends me to
great
bed.
Game,
it
yes.
takes me a while before I can fall asleep, and then I wake up excited for football this weekend because of games like that.
Win, lose, or draw, I didn't care what side you're on. That was a friggin' hard-hitting guys going at it. The run game, we got to see it at its elite. You're going to see basically the same thing on Monday night. Two teams that are trying to establish the run. You know it's going to – that is the kind of game you're going to see Monday night.
Nice transition, but I'm not done with your boy yet. He was trying to throw one pick for every kid he has last night.
Oh, my God.
We're going to continue on that because I want to talk about that 2004 draft class. You may have seen the curtain come down last night on one of the all-time great quarterback draft class. Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger. There's another quarterback in that class that's still playing as well. I wonder if anyone out there knows – who it is. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Low, befuddled at the question, but he's going to take some time to figure it out. Let us know if you know who it is. Who's the other quarterback from 2004's draft class that's actually still active? Larry Fitzgerald's still active as well. We'll get into that. The Raiders' playoff chances, plus a lot to get to regarding the Niners and the matchup with Seattle. But first, hey, Anna, what's up with the Warriors?
Hey, nice. Joe. What's up with the Warriors?
Oh, wait, hold on. You're doing different music?
I guess so.
Nice.
I didn't choose it yet.
You sound good.
A little
Do
more relaxed.
This is better.
Relaxed.
Keep talking like that. Like,
I should be fired.
All right, what's up with the Warriors? That's okay. That's okay. What's up with the Warriors? It's brought to you by Ceramani Ford, your San Francisco Ford dealer. Warriors tip off a back-to-back on the road. Next up, Minnesota Dubs were shorthanded in their loss to the Rockets with just 9 guys on the court, but now they could add a 10th. D'Angelo Russell is being called a game-time decision tonight against the Timberwolves. D'Lo has been sidelined 3 games with a sprained ankle, but coverage starts at 3:30 with tip-off at 5 here on 95.7 The Game.
Nicely done. We're going to take a trip down memory lane with the Big Marshmallow next. The Big Marshmallow is low. He's dressed in all white today. He looks ridiculous. 95.7 The Game.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Dibs is quite upset at Philip Rivers based on that performance last night. He had the Chargers and Low versus Dibs. It was a good pick. It was a sharp pick. It just didn't work out. They don't always work out. So you'll hear the rest of Low versus Dibs today around 9:45 as the big man tries to continue to pad his lead. It's been a good season for the big man this year.
Yeah, it happens. I feel bad for him. I mean, like, give him a body. I mean, it's not even. He's just.
Were you about to put me in a body bag?
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Go ahead and do it.
Go ahead and do it.
Back, body.
I mean, we're shopping for caskets over here, but we're not quite ready to zip up the plastic.
Right,
okay?
Right. We got to
keep it fair.
You're right.
We've already found a plot, a nice place where we can rest in eventual peace, but. We're not quite ready to pull the plug yet.
Right. It's a long season. It's a long season.
Grandpa's hanging in there right now.
It's like Wags and Billions buying that special plot, having to force the guy out of it and get that one plot in the city. People are very – that was a Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, too, about everyone finding their plots and who they would and would not be against as they rest for eternity. Like Frank Reynolds said in Always Sunny in Philadelphia, I'm of the same mindset. When I'm dead, I don't have any use for the body anymore. Just throw it in the dumpster and move on with your day.
Wow. Right?
Just throw it in the dumpster and move on with your day. I'm on the bigger and better things at that point.
Yeah.
So, bigger and better things. You're watching Philip Rivers last night just struggle. The Raiders, the crowd noise, the pass rush. It was relentless last night. Derek Carr had an extremely efficient game. Josh Jacobs continues to demonstrate why he should be your offensive rookie of the year. And the Raiders emerged victorious 26-24. Now 5-4 on the season. And oh, by the way, over the final 7 games, 6 will come against teams with losing records. We'll get into that in just a second. But as you're watching Rivers struggle, you're thinking, man, this could be the end. And then you think about that 2004 draft class. 15 years ago, boys, 15 years ago, it was Eli Manning, number one, to the Chargers, and then the infamous trade. Manning has been benched for Daniel Jones. Roethlisberger ends up going later in the round out of Miami, Ohio. I think he was like 10 or 12 or something like that, and Philip was 4. And it just looks like that is coming to an end. Like, Philip was the one who apparently was able to hang on the longest, but right now, we're about to put a bow on one of the great quarterback draft classes of all time. It feels like the curtain is coming down.
Yeah, it does. And you look at it and you say, okay, is he done? Are they going to go away from Philip? Is it Philip? They were winning the game. Defense, they make a stop and don't let. And they didn't need the Raiders needed a touchdown. A field goal wouldn't win it with 2 minutes and some change left, and they were able to get a touchdown, not a field goal. So all of it's not on Philip. My biggest thing is, like, why is it, like, you saw a Carr early just, like, overthrow some guy, wide open receivers. You're like, man, just wide open. Missed him on the sideline, couple of those passes. But why if that happens with a younger guy, people are like, oh, he's still great or he's still good. Or if you see a young, but if it's a guy that's older, we look at and we're like, oh, he's got to be done. If Manning or Brady or, you know, just the older guy.
Because you've seen enough of him at such a high level that when he's not playing at a high level, you think it's over. Like Carr or a younger guy doing it, you've seen Derek be erratic. You've seen Derek be very good. You've seen Derek be bad.
Philip the same way, though.
But he's put together a 15-year career that now you don't see as many great moments. How many great throws did he make last night? How many picks did he have that either there was a penalty calling it back or it was dropped or it was tipped and they couldn't come up with it? He was hideous last night. Hideous. You can just tell it's not there. He's He had an easy – actually, it was Derek that had the easy dump off to Washington at one point where he took the sack instead. If he had just flicked it out to the left, nothing but field. But, yeah, it's just – it's over. You get to that point where you're used to seeing him play at such a high level for so long that when you make that many inconsistent plays against a team that, while the Raiders are better, they're not exactly viewed as the Ravens or the Patriots currently, I think that's why people are like, this is it. Plus, look at the Chargers. This is the dysfunction that is the Chargers. Not only is the owner fighting with the media right now as to whether or not they're going to London, who's their backup plan? Think about that for a second. The Giants went out and got Daniel Jones the year after everyone said they should have taken Darnold or Rosen or whoever. Point being, they had the end in mind for Eli Manning.
Right.
The Steelers have Mason Rudolph. Maybe he's not the guy, but they have a plan in place. The Chargers have been doing nothing. The Chargers aren't drafting anyone. They just assume Phillip's going to keep going. He's washed. They got no plan for next year.
Yeah, and then you look at where you are, too, as a team. You're going to be drafting in the teens. It's not like you decided to go into full tank mode to where you're thinking, all right, we like Tua, so we're going to tank for Tua, whatever it is. The Chargers are just good enough to be 7-9 low or 8-8. And just darn it, miss out on the playoffs yet again.
I think that this Raider team, after they played Indy, I came in. I said this team's going to the playoffs. They may be the best team in this particular conference. Came in weeks ago because I the eye test, and then at Kansas City, you saw what happened, and we saw Indy beat Kansas City. I said people aren't talking about this Raider team enough. I said because I'm watching and seeing the eye test, seeing how physical they are. I knew this is a pretty good team. I look at it and you say, okay, what's going on? I think Daniel Jones, the backup quarterback, I think that they like him. I think they like him in L.A. Don't know if he's, you know, going to be – is he better than Winston and those guys right now? I think so. I was watching him play a little bit, watching him a couple times in preseason. Big, physical guy, came out of Ohio State. I think people got a little higher on them than we are. So it's going to be interesting, just this transition, just for, you know, just the NFL. Like you're talking about Joe, Big Ben, Albo, older guy, think he's probably done, Manning, gone. And we're getting ready to say, you're right, say goodbye to a pretty good era.
Those three quarterbacks, by the way, separated by 900 total yards.
Wow.
In the all-time yardage. They're ranked 6th, 7th, and 8th.
That's incredible.
All time. I looked this morning because I was trying to make a case that Philip Rivers isn't a Hall of Famer, and you start to look through the numbers, it's like, geez, he's 6th all time in yardage. That's pretty good company.
Right.
You look at the touchdowns and the fact that he started, I think, 212 straight games or something. The case for him is way stronger than the case against, but you look at yards, it's Rivers at 6th, and then Roethlisberger 7, and Eli Manning is 8th, the three guys from the 2004 draft class.
Who's the best of the three? And don't point to Super Bowl rings because that's a team effort. Who's the best of the three? If you rank the scenarios, Pittsburgh, New York, Chargers, you'd rank the scenarios one way. But how would you rank the quarterbacks? Who turned out to be the best of the three? If you go back and redraft, okay, so I don't want to hear about, well, they got these rings. That's a lot of help. Rivers didn't have as much help.
I got
right?
you.
But how do you rank them?
I would go Ben, Phillip, Eli.
Church, Ben's one. Pugh.
Yep.
Phillip two.
Yep.
Eli three.
Yep.
Okay.
Church, pew, drawers. I mean, that's exactly
gross.
What I was thinking.
Gross.
Who would do that?
You can just say, I agree. You don't have to say you want to wear his drawers.
You always throw the drawers in there. You haven't paid off the tees either. I'm sitting here waiting for this, and I'm like.
Your boy Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub was in that 2004 draft class.
I'm like,
pick the round or the college. Let's see if you two jabronis can figure it out. The round or the college. Don't look it up. You immediately looked at the text line. Stop.
I don't
stop. I don't care.
Anna,
well, stop right
text
now.
Sign on? Real quick, Anna. Is the text line on?
Give it to me.
No, it is not. It is not.
Give me his college or his round.
Fourth round out of Boston College, Joe.
You can agree. You can wear the same draws if you like.
Follow me.
I'm going to go third round. Boston.
And what college? Just take a stab in the dark.
Fresno State.
Probably the worst guess of all time because you know that's wrong. Anna, any guesses?
Not right now because I'm finishing up something.
Yes, do your update. That's on me. I should have seen
that. No problem.
Third round is correct. Out of Virginia.
I knew it was third round.
Shaheen Sean Doolittle, Virginia.
Didn't know anything.
And Javi Lopez, Virginia. Yeah, you didn't know anything. He said four and you picked one. And you did a nice job.
You did
Matt
a great
Schaub,
job.
Still going strong. Is Matt Schaub, had Matt Schaub been drafted by the Steelers, would he have had Ben's career?
That's
would
a great
he have
tease.
Won two Super Bowls?
That is
I'm not paying that off. We're not going to pay that tease off.
The answer is no, by
We're
the way.
We're not paying that off. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. The Raiders and their chances to go to the playoffs will be coming up later on the program. We got to get into that injury report for the Niners. Was talking to some people in Seattle yesterday, raised a bit of a red flag. I want to bring that up with you guys as well. That'll be next. But first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, then, Joe, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Chilton Autobody. Warriors hoping to get D'Angelo Russell back on the court tonight in Minnesota in their first of back-to-back set of games. D'Lo is considered a game-time decision. Now, Warriors and T-Wolves coverage starts at 3:30 with Warriors warm-up and tip-off at 5 right here on 95.7 The Game. Is the 49ers and Seahawks game the biggest game of the season for the Niners, and is it the biggest game of the year in the NFL? How big of a loss is Robbie Gould for the Niners? Plus, what's the latest on George Kittle? The guys will ask our 95.7 The Game football insider Adam Kaplan at 7 a.m. Then former NFL wide receiver Drew Bennett will join the show at 9:05. Now, Joe Lowndes will be at the Santa Clara Hilton on Monday ahead of the 49ers and Seahawks shootout. Now, coming up at 7:45, we're giving away the first pair of all-you-can-eat wristbands for the Hilton tailgate and after party. Do not miss your chance. And the Raiders picked off Phillip Rivers 3 times in Oakland's 26-24 win over the Chargers. Whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Autobody's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutobody.com. That's ChiltonAutobody.com. I'm Anna Kukadike. He's on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowndes continues on 95.7 The Game.
Nice musical choice, Pappas.
Common.
Welcome to the show, by the way.
Chicago in the building.
Thank you. That's why I was complimenting him.
I was just letting the people know, Joe, because not everybody has the musical gravitas that you possess.
I am able to call out the songs that we play coming back from break. 1 out of 40, maybe. 1 out of 40. I have no musical taste whatsoever. There's like 2 bands I listen to. There's 1 I listen to right now. That's it. I don't really listen to anything. You listen to The Word.
Yeah, I don't listen to a lot. I got a little Kanye. I've been on this Kanye tip a little bit, me and Dibs.
Well, the recent Kanye stuff?
Yeah, it's pretty hot. So me and Dibs, I'm trying to get Dibs on that.
You're on that too?
No, by me and Dibs, he means he and our fill-in board op, who's working for the last time on the show, they were having a discussion about Kanye, and Lo tried to preach to me about it, and I had to walk away. And he said, oh, it's okay, I'll follow you. So that's kind of how my day started.
Our producer, Curly, said he was out parking his car this morning, trying to work his way in, and there was a little bit of a commotion further down the street, some highly, maybe unsavory types. Oh. So he's trying to pay attention to that, and the big marshmallow comes out of left field and scares him.
Oh, wow. He shook him up on the street.
Were you scared?
Curly! Wow!
Yeah, he came in worried. You see him nodding back there.
Oh, my God.
He's a delicate Irishman.
I'm in my automobile. He's walking. He's on the other side of the street.
You're in your automobile, huh?
Yeah. You know I parked the Deezer?
The Deezer.
I'm in the Deezer. He's on the other side over by the building.
Sure.
In this building. So he's pretty far away. I just, Curly, from a distance. And he just shakes, jumps. Is that close?
In that location, you don't yell out. You go about your business. There's no yelling at 3, 3:30, 4 a.m. in the streets. If you're yelling, you're causing problems, right? Well-respected people are not yelling in the streets at 3:30, 4 a.m. So when you're out there yelling in the streets, for him to get worried, that's a reasonable reaction, right? You see what I'm saying?
What are you going to say, Anna?
You think they're just yelling at Harvard? You think you're walking around Harvard, everyone's just yelling? No.
You think he could see you, though, because you're all white. I mean, you're bright.
Yeah. It's terrifying.
Terrifying? Am I a terrifying individual, Joe?
Just a lot of white. It's terrifying because if you eat,
how do you eat
something in that outfit? If you eat something, it's high risk.
You see me look down right away. I was like,
possible stains everywhere.
Yeah, and I wasn't like on the streets or anything, Dibs. I was in the car, so I wasn't even like the lights on. So I wasn't. I don't know why he's scared. Black guy just yelling, Curly, yells his name, so someone knows him.
No one said anything about race until that moment. That was the first moment. Yesterday, the practice report out of Santa Clara, it's looking good. Limited practice for Kyle Juszczyk, Mike McGlinchey, and Joe Staley. Now, Drew Bennett is going to join us today at 9:05 as I get my Drews and Ds mixed up. D Ford was in there as well, but he's been limited for a while. We understand what's going on there, but to be limited in practice, Juszczyk, McGlinchey, Staley, looking pretty good. No practice for Robbie Gould, George Kittle, Levine Tololo, and Akello Witherspoon. More on that in a bit. But for looking good, Juszczyk, McGlinchey, Staley. It's a Thursday practice for a Monday night game, and they're limited. How you feeling? How should we be feeling? Do you expect to see all three of them on the field Monday night?
I do. If you're limited, that means you're doing something. That means you're warming up. That means you're out there. You're in your uni. You're running around. Maybe you're not doing any team, but you're going through individual. So that means you're able to run. That means you're able to move. He didn't say that they were they said they were at practice. That means they're limited. That means they're doing some sort of practicing. That is a very, very good sign.
Are you going to need these three to win this game? Like, say all three were out again. Could you get past Seattle? Or do you think one, two, or all three needs to be back in order to win this
game? I think you need two back to win this game because George Kittle, we're not sure how close to 100% he will be. And you mentioned Levine Toilolo. If he's unable to go, that affects your ability to run the ball as well because he is your second, if not your third tight end, depending on what the package is. So for me, if you get Staley back and you get Juszczyk back, that should be enough. I'm not sure about McGlinchey. It seemed to me earlier in the week that his timetable might be a little bit longer than the previous two. But if you get all three back, I love their chances.
I think when you mention Kittle, this is how it's going to be the rest of the season. I don't think there's no such thing as 100% for George Kittle until the offseason, right? Some of these injuries, the way he plays football, it's just going to be a less than 100% George Kittle the rest of the way out. And that's not rare, but I think that's what we have to prepare for.
I agree, too. And Dibs, you have you know you're good with the knee because you have so many different braces and you've been through it with your knee.
Yeah.
Some you have the brace where you have to put it on the outside. It's the big thick brace and you got to strap it on. You got the Velcro to lock it on. Then you have the other ones, the sleeves you slide on that has the metal, still has the metal outside of both of
right.
them.
Right. Oh, really?
And with the kneecaps out of it, and it locks you in. I think this guy should wear a brace from here on out. If I'm the coach and I'm training, I have him in that brace. And, yeah, it limits you a little bit. Guys don't like it because it kind of restricts your speed and mobility. But now he can't hyperextend it anymore because you know how it does.
You're talking about the second of those braces is the one he should wear because you see the offensive linemen all have
that's too much.
The unloader brace. That's the one that I was wearing a couple weeks ago when I was having the knee day,
right?
The bad knee day.
Bad knee day.
Yeah, and that's the one you see all the offensive linemen now almost at every level wear, whether or not they've had knee injuries or not. It used to just be, oh, there's a guy who's had the knee issue, but now they all wear them as a precautionary measure.
Right. So the second one I think he should wear, that brace, the sleeve.
The sleeve with the help on the sides.
With the helps on both sides, and it's metal steel on both sides.
And they have the other sleeve that just kind of warms it up. It doesn't do anything from a stability standpoint.
Don't want that one.
You see a lot of those
just fabric?
Yeah, it's more like the neoprene. It just does it to keep it warm.
Like a wetsuit.
Yeah, exactly. So if you put like a little CBD in there or something, warm it up, then put the sleeve over it, sometimes it gives you a little bit of a longer warm-up feel before it goes stiff on you.
Put a little CBD in it.
If you can, if it's, to be arranged.
Are you allowed to do that if you're an NFL player? Can you rub CBD on your knee?
Low, I don't know if it's illegal.
Probably not.
You don't get a test positive for anything with CBD.
Yeah, because there's no THC in it, very low amounts. Yeah, so probably you can, but I
especially
don't.
When you use
as
like
we hand out this wild medical advice,
I'm not going
literally
to,
no
I'm
medical
not going
training.
There.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not. Yeah, fortunately, we're not in an industry where we get tested.
Right.
But that would bring up a whole another set of circumstances.
There'd be no one working here.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of dead air. quite a bit of dead air.
I remember when I went through the whole process, like that never came up, and I was like, huh, it's one of those businesses.
Yeah.
And then I just assumed it was a California thing. It's like, California. You can do whatever you want out here, apparently.
A little loosey-goosey.
Loosey-goosey.
And a lot's changed in the 5 years since you've been here, from a national standpoint on that and other topics. But,
he's a guy, Joe, that like Dibs just alluded to, you do need two other guys. If he's not playing and he's not going maybe, you do need, I wouldn't say two, I think you need all three. If
Kittle was out.
Yeah, and if he's even being limited, I still think you need two of these guys. It's going to be a physical game. This game is for all the marbles right now. Like you said, every game gets bigger. But this is a big one. This is that one that could be the passing of the torch. This is that one that you're trying to show dominance. It's that one that it's a big game swing. It's
prime time, too. So you know he's going to want to be out there, and he's going to want to show everyone why he's the best tight end in football.
Right.
Speaking of prime time, you see Florida State. Deion Sanders wants to be the next head coach at Florida State.
Yeah. Yeah,
that'd be a great hire. First of all, has Deion Sanders coached anything?
I'd have to check, Joe.
Yeah, might be one of the qualifications for coaching Florida State. Might be previous coaching experience, number one. Number two, doesn't exactly strike me as a master tactician. Great football player, but unless the Seminoles are asking him to suit up, I think it's all just a smokescreen. I think they've got some conversations going on behind the scenes with guys they don't want anyone looking at, and they've got a head start on this whole thing. So I think it's like, hey, yeah, we're interested in Deion.
Hell, throw his name
and it's
in
like
that.
Everyone's like, whoa, Deion. And it's like, as you're looking over there, they're over here talking to guys who, actually coach.
What if you had two great coordinators and he just was your head coach? Can you imagine him in the recruiting trail?
That's what I was
saying. You knock on your door and, hey, how you doing, Mrs. Smith? I'm Deion. Deion Sanders, yeah, nice to meet you.
Is he going to want to do that? Recruiting is not easy. You got to be on the road all year. You got to call these guys, text these guys, show up, sell. He's famous. He's rich. He's older. Like, why would he want to deal with that?
If he's looking at his school thinking, hey, look, I can help turn this thing around. And trust me, you'll have a bunch of coaches lined up. And does he know football? Probably knows just as much as any coach, but he doesn't know, you know, he doesn't know the minute things of it. So like Dib said, if you get the right coaching staff, but this is the recruiting element. I think that's what they're looking at. Man, Deion Sanders come to my house, shoot a text. Who says he's texting him? You know how that goes.
He might eye-gram him.
The head.
It's all of him. Your DM is like, oh, you have a new request from Deion Sanders. Right. Like, what the hell is this? He got a blue check mark?
Most like,
Deion Sanders.
Those head coaches aren't doing it. They got someone to say, hey, send it out for me. You know how that goes. And all of a sudden, you're showing up here. Someone tells Saban and what to do. They don't got time to be texting all these cats.
You made a good point about the passing of the torch game Monday night. I want to get into that. Plus, I want to talk about this conversation I had with some radio people in Seattle yesterday about how they're viewing this game. Not as worried as you would think, which worried me a bit. Joe Lo and Dibs back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game.
Fuck the Astrid. Stretch my hand.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, so yesterday I had the pleasure of talking to some of our good friends up in Seattle on Seattle Radio, ESPN Seattle, Tom Wassel in the Midday Show, some great people up there. They wanted to preview the game. Wassel happens to be a Fish fan as well, so we have that in common. And they got a new afternoon show, Midday Show going on up there. It's a four-person thing, so lots of questions. Questions just everywhere. I don't know who's asking the questions, but I'm giving hot take answers. I've been going on with them for a long time. And over the course of that time, Seattle has been decidedly better than San Francisco. So generally, you go on, you have to play the role of punching bag, maybe give them a reason why an upset could be coming. But by and large, they're going to let you know that they're at the top of the heap and that you are nothing more than just the next hurdle between them and the postseason, which is understandable. But now it's a little bit different. You go talk to some of these other radio stations, as we all do. We talk to some friends in different towns, and we appear on each other's shows. And they're a little bit more... Hey, so this San Francisco team's legit this year. How's everyone feeling? They assume everyone's riding high down here, and people are excited, I tried to explain. But at the same time, you let them know it's been that cautious optimism. You know, they realize that the team's been winning, but they haven't gone against the elite cream of the crop. There hasn't been a game against New England or Green Bay or New Orleans. So people are excited. They're having fun with it. They're very optimistic. But no one's down here just screaming and yelling that it's going to be Super Bowl or bust. We got to a point, however, where they wanted to highlight how Seattle was going to go about trying to win this game. And it was a very reasonable conversation. It was not anyone trolling or talking junk. They are convinced that there is a very, very good chance Seattle can win this game because of their ability to run the football. Seattle is seventh in the NFL in rushing this season. Chris Carson has been a very, very pleasant surprise out of Oklahoma State. Very consistent back. I believe he's in the top seven in rushing in the NFL this season amongst all players. And of course, Russell Wilson, very mobile with his legs. That seems to be the Achilles heel of the Niner defense when people look to find a potential Achilles heel for the Niner defense. 14th against the run this season, giving up 102 yards per game. Help me with this. How big of a problem is this? Because Seattle people seem to feel that that's how they're going to attack the Niners and that's how they win the game. How alarmed should we be about the San Francisco run defense?
I think you have to be alarmed to a sense that you understand what's at stake here. And it's not just running, it's passing. It's a situation where you're playing a team that they're saying, look, we're going to pound the ball. I've been telling you, you know, if you know Brian Schottenheimer, if you know anything about Marty Schottenheimer, if you know anything about that family, that pedigree, they are going to run the ball. It's a reason why they're number seven in rushing. It's a reason why, you know, they friggin', you sue them 2 years ago to get rid of Cable, and Brian Schottenheimer said, let's make this team, we're going to make this team even more physical. He's a guy that lives by the run. Last year or the year before when he took over, people were saying, God, he's running too much. Let Russell win his games. And he was saying, I'm saving him. I'm not just that. Trust me, Russell. Trust this. And Russell wanted to throw the ball more. Now, look at where he's done. He put them in a situation where you save Russell Wilson. You establish the run. You establish the physicality. You don't have no definitely Pro Bowlers on that offensive line. But you have, though, is guys that are attitude, guys that are physical. Hell, you remember when we was in San Diego? You remember who we had? Chris Dillman, Nick Hardwick. Those guys weren't necessarily Pro Bowl type of guys. And all of a sudden, they became Pro Bowl guys because an attitude, they're pounding the ball, and you have no choice. In his offense, you have no choice. So they're going to come in here, and they're going to try to establish that run.
Brian Schottenheimer, the son of Marty, was he in San Diego at all when you were there?
there?
Yes.
When Marty was the head coach, what was Brian's role?
Brian
there?
Was a quarterback's coach.
Quarterback's coach.
Coach, and he helped with the run game. So he was had a lot of influence. Him and Cam Cameron. He had a huge film. His wife Jamie was still Christmas cards and all this stuff. So I'm very good friends with Brian. Brian's a freaking. I mean, when he went to the Jets, freaking called me up. He said, "What do you think about the playoffs game when they get to play against San Diego?" And they went down and beat them in that playoff game. 2009 to beat them in the playoffs 2008, and I said run power, run it all day at freaking Sean Phillips. End of the game, go watch it. End of the game, power, get out of the way. Camardi missed the
Phillips
tackle.
Phillips was making business decisions.
He's going to run the ball, and that's the biggest thing now for the Niners. Dibs is for them to establish. Let's get ahead. If you can play from in front and go up double digits, now you limit the amount of runs. If this is a tight game, nick and tuck. They are not going. This is going to be the only team, Joe, thus far this year that is not going to abandon the run no matter what.
Huh. I was very excited. The line's moving in Seattle's favor, by the way. Open San Francisco -7, dropped to 6.5, now down to 6. I know one guy I really trust out of Vegas who likes the Niners. He's all over the Niners this week at 6. That was his buy point. He said if it got to 6, he was in. But it is moving a little bit towards Seattle. Now, we'll see what happens come Monday. That's a very interesting note. So the defense without Quan Alexander, this is a concern. Is it a concern for you as well? As someone who played, it's a concern. As someone who's observed this team from the outside for the longest of times, is it a concern?
It's a concern before you lose Quan Alexander because of what Lowe was saying. And you mentioned it. They're 19th in the league in rushing yards allowed per game as a defense, and you look at the Ram game, they crammed it down their throat, and you look at subsequent games where teams early in the game especially have been able to run the ball and get gains and score early in the football game. And I think when you look at Seattle, a team that's run it the fourth most in the league, Niners, by the way, number one in rush attempts, and you have Baltimore and Minnesota as well, other great run teams. Lowe's right about the approach. Chris Carson's been a beast. I've had Rashad Penny on my fantasy team, so I've been waiting for Carson to maybe fumble away the job to Penny, but he hasn't done it. Russell is a good threat with his legs as well. I think you're going to see a lot of runs on both sides of the game.
Trivia question. Time for everyone to work together.
Uh-oh.
Trivia question. Russell Wilson, and don't be looking at
come
anything,
on, Anna.
Let's be honest.
Trivia question.
Russell Wilson currently ranks 6th. Among NFL quarterbacks in rushing. He has run for 203 yards this year. That is 6th. Who are the 5 quarterbacks ahead of him? I will give you 8 guesses. So you have 8 guesses to nail the 5, which means you can make 3 mistakes.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Good job. So Lowe's red hot. Good job, Lowe. You've contributed. Lamar Jackson is one. He leads at 637 rushing yards. He's actually 11th in the NFL in rushing right now.
Stay hot, Lowe. Stay hot. Keep it running. You're burning up over there, kid.
What, he's got to do everything? Lowe's got to do everything?
You got one for me.
I'll say Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
Are you on agreement?
Yeah.
Boom. That's number 2. Yeah. So for Family Feud, you've knocked the first 2 off the board. Yeah. Think about this. Boom. Lamar is the number 1 rated rushing quarterback at 637. Kyler's 2 at 313 yards. Lamar's more than doubled him up, just for perspective. So Kyler Murray. So you got 3 more to go, and you have...
Three strikes.
Three strikes.
You gave us 8 guesses.
3 strikes and 3 more to go. So you got 6 guesses.
What are you thinking? You want to go? What do you got? What old man you think's running pretty good? Aaron Rodgers. You guys like?
No, I was thinking more like
Michael Vick's out there. You think Michael Vick?
Jameis Winston. I don't know if he's been running it a lot.
Old Jameis.
Think about guys who've played all 9 games too.
Yeah.
This is where we separate.
No, that's
the wheat from the chaff. You're right.
No, smart that's from whatever
that's
I'm looking
Matthews,
at.
Book of Matthews. Okay, let's go by each conference. Let's look over here. We already talked about Seattle, Rams, Niners, and who's the fourth team?
Arizona. Cardinals.
Yeah, so we got one out of there.
Very nicely done. So, that's good deductive reasoning. That's what they call deductive reasoning.
You got nailed it. I'm just pulling up.
So we have done the NFC West.
Just pulling up standings. There's no text line. Nothing like that.
Okay, now I'm going to put up reading.
Might as well do the legal while we're hemming it on here, Joe.
I'll get it in there. Don't worry.
Okay, where you want to go? AFC East. Got Patriots, Bills, Dolphins, Jets.
Patriots.
Those
Bills.
Are the 4 teams in the AFC East.
Thank
I can
you.
Confirm
if
that.
If you have any other housekeeping, Joe, you want to do while we hem
would anyone like to
here?
Guess Patriots? Tom Brady? He's having a good year.
Patriots, Bills. Now the Bills. So that's Bills. We ain't going to go Bills. Now go another. What's the next conference after that?
Let's see. We got Ravens, Steelers, Browns, and Bengals in the North.
Still in the North, Joe. None of those teams have been moved.
Andy Dalton plays in the North.
Oh, the Pistol.
AFC South, you got the Texans.
Texans.
Colts, Jaguars, and Titans, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, why has it got to be the Texans?
We're going to go with Deshaun Watson, Joe.
Thank you. You see, this is how we do
it. See, that's how we do that.
Yeah, since you
this
don't
is our process.
Very nice. That's the number three answer on the board. The number three answer on the board is Deshaun Watson at 279 rushing yards. Russell Wilson ranks sixth among NFL quarterbacks. Let me reset it. I'm ranked sixth among NFL quarterbacks in rushing. Who are the five quarterbacks that have run for more yards than Russell Wilson? These three individuals, these three highly trained individuals, these sports experts, if you will, have eight guesses to nail the five people. You are 3 for 3 so far. You're doing very well. You have Lamar Jackson. He was number one. You have Kyler Murray. He was number two. You have Deshaun Watson. He was number three. Now you need numbers 4 and 5. Numbers 4 and 5, and you have five guesses to get there. As you think about it, and I'm telling you, I'm buying you time, so I'm hoping that me buying you time is going to lead to a guess after I'm done with the legal. And you'll notice I'm continuing to buy you time, and I'm also letting you know about it. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning. Welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Outstanding to have you with us. Adam Kaplan, in just a moment, we have a guest coming, so I bring it back to you. Who are your guesses?
Dibs said everything. He said this theme has something in common.
What? And,
so
I'm saying jokes, Teddy Bridgewater.
Jokes
would be,
hanging out there for everybody. I bought you a lot of time.
You did.
Come on, let's go.
Really
let's get
did.
A guess out there.
Yep. Okay, Dibs, go ahead.
We'll say Teddy Bridgewater, Joe.
Teddy Bridgewater's incorrect.
See, it's not.
You play the race card there.
Yeah, I know. That was totally different. I look at this since I'm not getting the help that I'm going to go
this
with
this is
Aaron.
Pathetic. There's three of you. There's 32 you. Teams. Like, honestly, how is this always so difficult? Just throw names out there.
It's so hard, Joe.
You're going to go with before he got benched. Quarterback in Tennessee.
Are you talking
Marcus Mariota?
Mariota. We could go him, or we can go Aaron Rodgers because he runs pretty well too. Dak Prescott. So you guys jump
yeah,
in.
Yeah, throw one out there, Lo.
I've thrown.
We'll go with Dak Prescott, Joe.
Incorrect. The answers: Josh Allen from the Buffalo Bills, and number five, Gardner Minshew.
Tough.
Gardner Minshew has actually run for more yards than Russell Wilson. He ranked sixth at 203. So it's Lamar, Kyler, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen, Gardner Minshew, and Russell Wilson. As we go to the Dibs, pathetic on your behalf, by the way. Absolutely pathetic. He was trying. She tried and then stared at a computer screen for a while. You literally did nothing.
I said
the Bills. Maybe I said that's a name we could talk about. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen. I got no help. I got crickets.
You did a nice job there. You did a nice job that you tried.
I got Kyler. We were looking at each other. Yeah. We said, oh,
that's
text
it. We're going to Dial Pad Guest Line. All guests appear on the Dial Pad Guest Line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across existing devices. 95.7 The Game football insider Adam Kaplan joining Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Adam, it's always a pleasure. Let's jump right in the Monday night showdown between the Seahawks and the Niners. The Seahawks are sitting there with a very nice record this season, but they've played a lot of tight games. Some believe that while Russell Wilson's putting together an MVP season, they may not be all they're cracked up to be from a record standpoint. How formidable of a challenge is this for the Niners, in your opinion?
Yeah, look, they're 7-2, and they've had some good wins on the road, some close ones, the Pittsburgh game in particular, but this is not your Seahawks defense. I mean, when we would watch the Seahawks when Richard Sherman was there, Legion of Boom, they were dominant. It was hard to move the football. The way that you beat the Seahawks is you throw and you throw and you throw. I know the Niners have a great run game, but man, we haven't been on or we haven't really talked much about Jimmy Garoppolo's game last week. It was phenomenal. Best game he's ever had as a professional. He was incredible. Not that they need to throw the ball 40 times in this game, but if I were them, I would come out throwing. I know that's not typically how they do it, but it's the way teams are throwing at will. Jameis Winston, let me tell you something. They had a 21-7 lead. He was going off. He played great for the first half. Their defense was so bad, Seattle was able to come back. I give them credit for coming back and finding a way to win that game. I mean, if this was an overtime game, Jameis Winston might have thrown for 500 yards. They could not get to him, and their line had been banged up, but it was pretty healthy. So this game, to me, if it's going to be one, I doubt that I would be shocked if they won this game by running the ball all the time. This is not a game where I think you need to run 30 times. I think throwing the ball, coming out throwing early should be smarter.
Conversely, Seattle probably will try to run the ball in order to be effective and try to win this game. What do you see from a Niners defense against the run without Quan Alexander? How vulnerable are they this week?
Yeah, you know what I get concerned about, and the Seahawks are an underrated screen game with Chris Carson. I remember talking to Brian Schottenheimer, their offense coordinator in training camp, and he said the big thing he wanted to do this year with Carson, because he had already shown he's one of the best young backs in the league, is getting involved in the passing game. He's probably going to wind up with 50 to 60 receptions this season. And their line is getting healthier. It's not a great line, but they're getting some guys back. They want Russell Wilson throwing the ball between 26 and 28 times per game. It seems to be no matter what happens, that's where he comes in at. The only times that he'll throw more than that is if they get way behind. They come in running, you're right. They're their one balanced team other than Baltimore. This is what they want to do. It's kind of a mandate from the head coach, Pete Carroll, and that's what they'll do. Now, Josh Gordon, by the way, you might see him in this game. He got cleared to play. He does have a minor ankle injury. Now, he's going to be a factor. If he does dress, folks, you're going to see him in the red zone because, remember, they lost their star tight end. Believe it or not, Will Disley is one of the breakout stars this season, but he, unfortunately, tore his Achilles, and that has hurt their offense, especially in the middle of the field.
Where do you see this team trying to find its hay against this Niners defense? What particular side? Is there a particular side or defensive guy they're going to run at? What do you think they're going to do to minimize this Niners offense from being on the field?
Yeah, I think Lo, they never change. They're coming out running the football. They're a power run team, deep passing. Lockett's the guy that you're concerned about. He's a top 10 NFL receiver, really, really good. He could run. DJ Metcalf has been a little bit ahead of schedule talking to the Seahawks. He's done a really good job. David Moore's another guy who's got some good size. And yeah, Josh Gordon, they're not going to get anything out of the tight end position. They have nothing left after Disley got hurt. So, look, they'll try to exploit the loss of Alexander, I'm sure, because they're going to run anyway. It's just that what you're going to do is because they're very, very young now without Alexander. They're very young, and we're going to see Greenlaw see what he can do with the sort of change they're going to have at linebacker. And they'll exploit that, certainly in the run game, because in the run fits, I'm sure they're going to do that. But overall, I don't think it's really changed what Robert Saleh does. I will say this, although I mentioned earlier the Seahawks offensive line's improving, it still doesn't make up for the fact that Niners had the best front four. This is where, to answer your question, this is where the Niners have to dominate. Their front four has got to get pressure on Russell Wilson and make him move off his spot. If you don't make him move off his spot, he's going to kill you. And by the way, when they have the scramble drill, remember, he breaks contain a lot. You got to be disciplined. Without Alexander, though, that concerns me. When Wilson breaks the pocket, when you go with young linebackers as they're going with here, that does concern me a little bit.
95.7 The Game football insider Adam Kaplan with us here on 95.7 The Game. What's going on with Antonio Brown? It's like one minute I'm hearing this guy, we're reading about how he's going to get a meeting with the league office, and then he goes nuts again on social media, and then he takes the post down. I mean, is there a chance we see him on the field again this season, next year? What's the time frame for this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me? If he gets cleared, I could tell you there'll be the only playoff type teams here, I've talked about this probably for 2 months now, and despite all the nonsense and how undisciplined and how crazy the guy seems, look, he can't control his emotions. Lorenzo knows this as an NFL player. It's all about winning. If you feel like you at least trust the player a little bit, look, talking to the Raiders, as they told me, he didn't know anyone there because he was barely there, despite.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.